Hi there, and welcome to the 5th Annual Transforming Toddlerhood Conference. I'm so happy you're here with us. I'm Devin Koonsman, your host, toddler expert and founder of Transforming Toddlerhood. I'm on a mission to dispel the myth that toddlerhood is terrible and to empower parents and caregivers in overcoming the challenges, nurturing their little ones' development, and creating confidence in their parenting skills. And that's exactly what we're here to do today. And I am just thrilled to be here with Allison Jandu, owner and founder of Potty Training Consultant. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Devin. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm just so excited you're here today and to talk to you about all things to do with pottying. And before we jump in, though, there may be some people in the audience that don't know you or aren't familiar with you and your work. So could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So hi, I'm Allison. Like you said, I'm the owner and founder of Potty Training Consultant, where we have very proudly worked with almost 3,000 families to help them meet their potty training goals. And it's been the most rewarding journey ever. I'm a mom of two myself, so I am very aware how challenging it can be to find reliable information on potty training online. There's, you know, if you Google potty training, so much stuff comes up and it can be really overwhelming to try to weed through it and find out what makes sense and what's going to work and what isn't. So my goal in creating Potty Training Consultant was to really create a community where parents could come and find those resources that are actually based on science, based on evidence, and based on the experience that I have in working with so many families so that they can come and get that support. Because I'm sure, as you know, potty training isn't always the most easy milestone for kids to take on. And having, you know, some support and some backing from somebody that has been there and done that for, you know, for years now can really be helpful. So that was kind of why I wanted to start Potty Training Consultant. And it's just been amazing so far.
Oh, I love that. And parents or caregivers are so happy to have you out there supporting them, because this process isn't necessarily linear, and there's not just like every child doesn't walk the same path. And so it's so important to have reliable resources out there to help us figure out how can I support my unique child on their unique path?
100%. And you really hit the nail on the head, because my kind of motto is that there's no one size fits all approach to potty training, because every child is so different and every child learns differently. So really trying to figure out what works well for your child as a unique individual is ultimately what's going to kind of guide your success.
Yeah. I love that. And I've noticed personally for myself that I've started changing my language around potty training. And I've noticed myself starting to shift more to this language of potty learning. And I'm curious if you see any value in kind of shifting the way that we talk about the pottying process when it comes to our little ones, and why might be important to keep the fact that it's a learning process in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find myself doing the same thing. You know, it's commonly referred to as potty training, which can come off as kind of a authoritarian kind of approach sounding, you know, type process. But in fact, it has to be, you know, it has to be a team effort between yourself and your child. You have to be your child's teacher and their advocate during this process. So you really have to, you know, help them learn. It really is kind of a learning process. It's not necessarily something that you can just say, hey, this is what you're going to do, and then your child's going to magically comply to that. So I really am a firm believer in having the potty training or potty learning process be, you want it to feel like something that you're doing with your child instead of something that you're doing to your child. And once you kind of shift that mindset, your child is also going to be much more receptive to the process as well. So it's definitely beneficial. I think, you know, hopefully as years go by, we can kind of shift that terminology a little bit more. Although I know now it's very commonly just kind of referred to as potty training, and that's what it's known by. But yeah, if you have your mindset mindset shifted a little bit to know that it is going to be a process that you undergo instead of just a one-time training event kind of thing, then I think it could kind of benefit everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I really agree, because when I hear the word training, it just like elicits this idea of like, oh, I'm going to do this thing to someone else. I'm going to train this person how to do this. And of course, there is some type of teaching inside of training, but I think that it really sets up the dynamic of like, I'm doing this thing to you versus, you know, when I see the most success around any parenting challenge, including toileting, that when we can approach it from a place of partnership, now it doesn't mean that we're equals, it still means the parent's in charge, but when we approach challenges from a place of partnership, we tend to see things move forward a lot more, because then we're able to actually see and understand the other person's point of view versus just pushing forward no matter what to get to the end goal. And so I see a lot of value in it. And one thing I wanted to ask you to kind of kick off this conversation is, well, what do you feel makes toddlerhood a challenging and misunderstood developmental period, especially when it comes to pottying?
Yeah, it definitely is a challenging time, and it kind of adds a whole nother layer, because the time that, you know, your child is starting to think about toileting and potty training is the same kind of time where your child is starting to find their independent self. And, you know, they're starting to want that autonomy and realizing that they are a separate person from you, and that they have their own, you know, viewpoints, and they have control over certain behaviors. And that can lead to some challenges during, especially like the potty learning phase, because kids around in toddlerhood, they tend to be very like rooted in schedules and routine, and they really tend to do well with predictability and knowing what to expect from day to day. And obviously, potty training is a big change, because, you know, we're taking their diapers away, which is what they've known their whole lives, and asking them to use a potty instead, which can be very different and oftentimes met with a lot of resistance. So that can cause a lot of, a lot of pushback and a lot of issues just during the potty training process that parents might not necessarily be prepared for, because they might start seeing a whole new side of their toddler that they haven't yet, as they start to embark on this journey. So it can be definitely a very challenging time during toddlerhood. And I think parents also struggle with knowing when to push forward and when to kind of take a step back, as far as knowing how to best facilitate the process for their child without, you know, doing something wrong. I feel like there's so much pressure on parents to just get it right the first time. And there might be a lot of kind of misconceptions and things floating around out there about what the best, like how to best handle that when you start to notice some struggles during the potty training process.
Yeah, I'd love to dive into this a little bit deeper as we move through this conversation. And I think it's so great to, you know, what you said about like, it's really a big transition going from diapers to not having diapers anymore. And I think I always like to remind parents and caregivers that for the first 2 to 3 years of a child's life, where we've given them diapers and we're kind of expecting them to not have much awareness around their elimination habits, right? Because they have this diaper attached to them, they can just do it whenever they want. And then all of a sudden, when we decide, okay, we're going to embark on this journey of potty learning, then we're basically saying, hey, so this thing you've been doing for 2 to 3 years, now we're just going to do it a completely different way. And we kind of expect them to go from this, like not having any awareness to like having full awareness and control. Yep. And it's really too big of a leap for most toddlers, especially when it coincides with this developmental period where they're just developmentally driven to become their own person. And yep. When a toddler is trying to become their own person, it looks a lot like saying no and doing the opposite of what we've asked.
Totally. Yes, it definitely adds a very kind of complicated aspect to the process. So yeah, I think you said that really well, because it is a challenge for a lot of kids, and their natural response at that age is to just kind of say no to what you're telling them to do, because they're experimenting, you know, they're trying to test limits. They're trying to, you know, fight for their individuality. So it's just kind of a natural thing. And I think a lot of parents see that for the first time and they're like, oh my gosh, this, you know, what is happening to my child? And like you said, like the terrible twos and all of that kind of stuff comes into play, but it's just kind of natural development, unfortunately.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's natural development. And so we have to learn how to work with our toddlers and their development to accomplish these milestones.
Totally. And there are different ways that you can look at it to make the process go a lot smoother and, you know, try to avoid some of those conflicts.
That's awesome. So how do you feel that we can just get started in preparing a child to make this transition or this leap, you know, without expecting the go from what I always like to say, from like A to Z in like one big jump.
Yeah. In like a weekend, right? Right. yeah. So the preparation process to me is actually the most important part of the potty learning phase, because, you know, kids do really well with, like I said, knowing what to expect, having some advance notice with things. So if we take some time before just diving in and getting rid of diapers cold turkey one random weekend that we have an extra day off from work, if we take some time to kind of build them up to the idea before we start, it's going to make it much better received by your child once you do actually decide to make that switch. So I definitely recommend a prep period. There's really no maximum amount of time. You can start it as early as you wanted to. But I usually say for at least about a 2-week period before beginning the actual pottying process. So there's a lot of really fun, like easy ways that you can do that. And ultimately, we just want to give our kids exposure to the potty and to what it is, because it's probably something that they've never really seen before or thought about. So we can introduce the concept in a lot of great ways, like reading books to them, you know, reading potty books. There are tons out there to choose from nowadays. Same with like kind of watching videos on YouTube. Like you can usually find like videos that feature your child's favorite character, probably singing a song about using the potty or something that would kind of pique their interest. Modeling is also a really valuable tool. So kind of having your child come into the bathroom with you when you're going, if they're not in there already anyway, which let's be honest, they probably are. So you can kind of use that to your advantage and talk them through the steps, like get them to actually start thinking about the process of what happens. And you can even start with how your body feels before you take yourself to the bathroom so that they can start to understand that our body sends us signals when it's time to go use the potty. And kind of mimicking that as well, doing some role play or pretend play with their toys and their dolls. Have their favorite doll pretend like it needs to use the bathroom and say, oh my gosh, your doll needs to use the potty. What do you think it should do? And see how much your child knows, you know, see if they're able to help it go use the potty, take it through the different steps. And it's a really great low pressure way to introduce the concept and to get them learning without forcing them or expecting them to change anything themselves at first. So that prep phase is a really valuable time that you can cram in a lot of learning without introducing stress. So it's a really great opportunity to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, this is great because again, we're focusing on learning. We're focusing on creating awareness, and all of these precursors are going to make the action, going to support the action that comes later. So I really exactly. love this idea of just like, yeah, creating awareness. And this is so helpful with any type of transition for a child. And so, you know, say if we were like making like a crib to bed transition or a new school transition or something like this. So a preparation is always supportive. And the bigger the transition is, the more prep we need, you know, like going from like playtime to bath time is a smaller transition. We still prep them, but it's smaller amount of prep. This is a big one.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, anytime you're able to give them some like advance notice that things are, you know, that their usual routine and what they're used to is about to shift, it tends to kind of let them mentally prepare a little bit for that so that it's not such a huge shock, which can just kind of be automatically triggered, you know, trigger some kind of self-defense mechanisms, which usually present in the form of resistance or tantrums and things like that. So having that prep phase is really, really important. You shouldn't skip over that part.
Yeah, it also gives time to like also support a child with any big emotions. So it gives them time to, you know, release some big emotions that start coming up in advance versus like having to release all of those emotions in the middle of like all the action. And so it's definitely great in that way for allowing them to like have exposure, release emotions, and just it's all part of that process. And there might be some parents and caregivers listening like, okay, got it. Prep's important. We're going to work on that, but like, when do we start working on that? Do you feel there's, does the research show that there's like an ideal time or a better time or a less ideal time to start this process?
So a lot of the research out there points to kind of the ideal window of introducing the concept of potty training of being somewhere between 18 and 24 months, with not starting the potty training process before the 24 month mark. So, and of course, that's generally speaking, there's obviously going to be kids who are ready a little earlier and kids who aren't ready until later. But that's kind of what the science has directed us to. So anytime between that 18 and 24 month phase, you can start casually bringing up the concept of the potty. You know, you don't necessarily have to say, oh my gosh, they're turning 18 months old. We have to get rid of diapers right then. But you can be like, okay, this time when we go to the library, I'm going to pick up a couple of books about the potty. And then you can kind of add them into your daily routine and start just talking about it on a daily basis, because we really want to create positivity surrounding the potty and poop and pee and all of that kind of stuff, which tends to not be something that we talk about on a regular basis, but we do want to kind of open that dialogue so that our kids understand that, okay, this is something that everybody does. It's healthy and it's just part of life. And we want them to think that we don't want them to think that, you know, there's any shame associated with it or that it's something that needs to be kept private necessarily, which can kind of you know, unintentionally internalize those negative feelings towards toileting. Instead, we want to make it like an open conversation, something that your kid can come to you and ask questions about, you know, spark some interest, like look at the poop in the potty, look at like have them put their poop from their diaper into the potty and flush it away, just so that they get familiar with it. And that way it doesn't seem like as big and scary of a change when it comes time to actually start the process.
Yeah, like just normalize pottying, toileting, like all of these things, normalizing the natural human process as early as possible, I think is super helpful. And I also want to say, like, it's not a coincidence. I feel it's not a coincidence that 18 to 24 months is like kind of a sensitive window to introduce pottying and, you know, to start introducing this transition. As you know, this is the time that we typically start seeing toddlers resistant to diaper changes. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to lay down anymore on the changing table. They don't want to come over and have their diaper. Like they just in general start becoming resistant to diaper changes. And I really feel that this is young toddlers showing us that they're ready to have an active role in their toileting process. They're ready to learn the next skill. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're wearing underwear and they're going on the potty. Right. They're ready for the next step and they're ready to have a role in the process because they no longer like that the diaper change potting being something that's passively done to them.
Exactly. And they don't necessarily know that there's another option. So they're looking to us to give them that guidance and, you know, start to introduce these other concepts to them. So it's definitely something that we should be introducing to them instead of kind of always waiting for, you know, waiting for us to follow their lead kind of thing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, we've talked about preparing the child for this transition. I'm curious, what about preparing the adults? Do they need any preparation? What would you say?
I'm so glad you asked that because yes, we definitely need to prepare ourselves for this first. you know, potty learning is a lot of changes for your child, yes, but it's a lot of change for you too. So you definitely shouldn't discount your needs and your readiness to take on this process. You know, I think it's something that a lot of us kind of put to the wayside because we're parents, like we're the most selfless people on the planet, right? We're like, we're always putting our kids' needs first. And when it comes to starting potty training, you have to kind of take some time to mentally prepare before you start because there's a lot of changes that come along with it. And they aren't always the most convenient changes at first, you know? So you have to really set yourself up for that and what that can entail so that you have realistic expectations as you go into the process. I find that parents who do take some extra time to kind of educate themselves before you start, you know, by watching something like this or reading something online from a reputable source, you know, and just kind of setting themselves up, getting a little plan in place that you could potentially follow, things that you can kind of put together that you think is going to work well for your child specifically. Those parents that take the time to do that tend to have better success rates because they're more likely to stay committed to the process and they're more able to remain consistent as they're going through. Whereas parents who don't always take the time to prepare, you're going to have a lot of what ifs and a lot of questions happening as you're executing the process. Like, oh, well, we have to go on this long car ride, so I'm going to put a diaper back on for the trip. And, you know, that's not sending the most consistent message all the time to your child, which can cause the process to take a lot longer. So taking some time to prepare yourself before you start is definitely very important.
Awesome. Yeah, I think this is definitely important. And I heard you say part of the process is creating realistic expectations. Could you give us a little more clarity about like, well, what are realistic expectations for this process?
Yeah, I think a lot of parents, once you start the potty training process, you have these kind of preconceived ideas in your mind of how it's going to go. Whereas, unfortunately, there's no real normal when it comes to potty training or how many accidents are normal each day, or, you know, like you said in the beginning, the progress isn't always linear, right? So sometimes you can have a really great first 2 days, and then on the third day, your child doesn't want to use the potty at all. And you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? When in reality, that's actually kind of normal. So I think if you, you know, if you know that in advance that that's a possibility of happening, then you can kind of talk yourself into forging on and keeping that consistency, because ultimately sending that clear message to your child of, you know, all pee and poop are going to go in the potty from now on, sending that really clear message and maintaining that consistency is going to give your child the guidance that they need in order to stay on the right track and keep advancing. It's not necessarily a 3-day process. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of misconception out there about these 3-day potty training methods, when in fact, yes, you can lay a lot of the groundwork in a 3-day time frame, but there's going to be a lot of maintenance that needs to keep going into it to keep your child advancing and to keep, you know, keep the learning going. So definitely having that preparation and understanding that there's going to be bumps in the road before you start, I think can be helpful to keep you going forward.
Yeah, this is great. And especially just like reminding everyone that there isn't quote unquote a norm or normal when it comes to this process in terms of like how quick this process is for a child. So it's not helpful to compare yourself to the neighbor kid, your best friend's kid, the kids in the classroom, because it's not, your child's process is not going to look the same as those children's process.
So true. And even between siblings, even between twins, you know, it's different for everybody. So yeah, so definitely don't compare, because it's no way a reflection of yourself as a parent. It's in no way a reflection of your child in their childing. It's just, it's just part of it. It's just part of how they learn, and they will get there. I promise. They're just kind of looking for that extra consistency and guidance to help them over those initial hurdles.
Got it. Got it. Well, what would you say are some of your top tips for the active part of this process?
Sure. Yeah. So definitely want to start with that prep phase. We don't want to discount any of that or try to, you know, hasten that process in order to get them out of diapers quicker. Definitely focus some time on the preparation process. And then once you're ready to dive in and start, I find that it's usually helpful. And again, you know, it varies between children. There's no necessarily like miracle potty training cure out there. I wish there was. But I find that it is helpful to have kind of a definitive stopping point for diapers at some point. So to have a time frame designated where you're going to actually put the diapers away, maybe with the exception of for nighttime, and focus on putting all pee and poop in the potty so that your child has a really clear understanding of what the new expectations are. Because if you're kind of switching back and forth between diapers or pull-ups and underwear throughout each random day, then they're going to be a little confused. Like, so sometimes they want me to use the potty, but sometimes it's okay if I just go in my pants. And I find that you'll have faster success if you just pick a day that you're going to say, okay, we're going to put all the diapers away. We're only going to use the potty now. And that tends to be really helpful. I also find that it's helpful for your child to learn their awareness and their body cues, which is kind of one of the key points in the potty learning phase, right? They have to know when it's time to take themselves to the potty. The diaper technology out there is so good right now that they're so absorbent that our kids, when they pee, especially in their diapers, they don't even necessarily know that they've gone because it's just absorbed so quickly and they're so dry. So they don't even necessarily know the difference between wet and dry yet. So having some time, I find like a day or two of just kind of keeping them bare bottomed, not having any underwear or anything like that on. And again, this isn't an answer for every single child, but for most kids, this tends to work pretty well. And it really just helps to accentuate all of those body sensations and signals that they get. They are able to kind of feel those urges a lot more. And then it's also much more apparent when the pee and poop starts coming out, because there's not anything there to catch that anymore. So, and it helps you to be able to set them up for success, because you can potentially catch some pee or poop in the potty instead. And then those gears start turning, and that's a really great learning opportunity. Another tip that I usually recommend is to try to avoid the timed potty visits. I find that that's kind of one of the little traps that parents fall into sometimes, is like having to take their kids to the potty at every 20 minutes or every 30 minutes. When in fact, that can actually delay the self-initiation process, because what happens is there are kids that have to go potty every 30 minutes, but then there are also kids that only have to go every 3 hours. And if you have a child that only needs to pee every 3 hours, and you're taking them to sit on the potty every 30 minutes, their bladder is going to be voided before it gets a chance to send a signal to their brain to tell them that it's time to go to the potty. So they never get the opportunity to learn what a full bladder feels like. So try to avoid falling into that little trap of taking them to the potty at set time intervals. During certain transitional times is fine, like when they wake up or before they go to sleep at night. But otherwise, we want them to give them the opportunity to be able to listen to their body so that they can learn what those urges feel like.
Yeah, this is so great, because I think that sometimes we think that I mean, I've fallen into this trap in the past that if there's no accidents, it means it's a success. I'm a success. The child's, everyone's a success.
But so really, true.
Yeah, right. But really what the success is, the success now, you know, all these years later, I've redefined that success for me means that the child's learning. They're learning the cues, they're learning the process, and they're learning how to become independent around their toileting. And in the learning process, there's going to be some of those accidents. It's going to happen. Yes. And so, like, I think like there's an opportunity to reframe, like, taking accidents versus no accidents out of this like good or bad lens, and just realizing that accidents are part of the process and they serve an important role in the process.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, research even shows that when we make mistakes, which is what an accident is, a mistake during the process, that our brains are working to create new pathways and new synapses to prevent us from doing that again in the future. So accidents do promote the learning process. So they are an important part of it. So like you said, you definitely don't want to weigh your progress based on how many accidents your child is having, and instead try to focus on the positives, you know, focus on the good things, focus on how many successes they're getting and the fact that they are, you know, that they're learning all of the steps of the process, not necessarily just getting pee and poop in the potty.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. And I also want to go back to the time pottying. You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, the time pottying, like putting them on the potty every 20 minutes or something like this, it like tends to like highlight, like going back to highlighting this idea of potty training, where I'm doing it to a child, versus potty learning, where we're being the guide and we're in partnership. So instead of timed pottying, it might look like a reminder, like, oh, hey, the potty's right there when you need to go. So it's like, really, then I see that more as serving in the role as the guide versus doing. And I think it's just so important to delineate this because from my experience, the more we try to do to a toddler, the more power struggles are created. And so I'm curious if you have anything else to say about avoiding power struggles or other things that, you know, can kind of cause power struggles in this process and how to overcome that.
Yeah, definitely. So choices are going to be the main way that you can avoid power struggles during the potty training process. So in any reasonable way that we can allow our child to make a decision about their pottying is going to empower them, and it's going to give them a certain perceived level of control over the situation so that they don't feel the need to start a fight with you. So, you know, if you notice that they need to go to the potty, maybe they're dancing around, holding their genitals or something. And, you know, it's very clear that they need to go and you're trying to encourage them to go sit on the potty, but they're like, no, I don't have to go. Instead of just saying, come on, we're going to go sit on the potty now, try giving them a choice, you know, being like, okay, do you want to sit on the toilet downstairs or would you like to go sit upstairs? It's time to sit on the potty. Would you like to choose the book that we're going to read while we sit there? Just, you know, it's a balance, right? It's a balance between you being the one to kind of guide the process and then giving them a certain level of involvement in it as well. It's also great if you can let them choose some of their own potty supplies before you even start the process. So let them choose what potty they like, let them pick out their own underwear that they're going to wear. And if they choose these things themselves, it gives them kind of a sense of ownership, and then they're more likely to use those things properly when the time comes, when you actually start. So any way that you can find to give choices, I find is the best way to kind of diffuse those power struggle situations.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. I always say, you know, it's our job as the leader and guide to create the container, and then we can give some freedom, some choices within the container once we've established what the container is. And so that's how I like to look at that. And, I'm curious, before you had mentioned there's something like one big challenge with this process is kind of knowing when to keep pushing forward and when to kind of take a step back and maybe take a break.
Yes.
Like, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because there might be some parents or caregivers out there that are wondering this and might be thinking, am I in that moment?
Right. Yes. And I know that those moments can feel like an eternity while you're living them. So my kind of general guidance on when to take a break from the process of potty training is there's a few kind of key points that you want to look for. So the first kind of red flag that would indicate needing to take a break would be, is your child experiencing some sort of medical side effect as a result of the potty training? So perhaps maybe the potty training has caused them so much anxiety that they are just withholding altogether and they're not peeing or pooping at all. And it's leading to constipation or potentially a UTI or something like that. To me, that would indicate that they're probably not quite ready emotionally for the potty training process. And that would be a good time to take a break. Also, if for some reason you feel as though you aren't able to maintain that consistent positive environment for your child's learning to keep advancing, then you should take a break. So if it's causing you so much stress, if you know, or God forbid, like something else in your life happens and you aren't able to really dedicate the full amount of time that's required to keep advancing your child's learning with the pottying, then it's probably best to just take a break until you are back into that phase, because ultimately we're the ones kind of guiding the ship. And if we're not able to be the best teacher and coach for our kids during that time, then it's best to just wait until you are able to really give it 100%. So, and that goes if it's just causing you so much anxiety and stress that it's affecting your relationship with your child, to where it's all arguments, it's all power struggles, it's all tears and meltdowns. Take a step back. You know, you don't have to live your life like that. It's okay to press pause, keep the learning going by doing some more of those low pressure type activities without necessarily expecting your child to continue on with doing it themselves at first. And then also, if you're just giving it your all, giving it 100% and really giving it a solid effort, and you don't see any measurable progress over the course of about 4 or 5 days, then it's okay to take a step back and wait a few more weeks or a couple of months and then try again later. So, and remember too, that progress is going to look different for everybody. Progress doesn't necessarily always mean that pee and poop are making it in the potty. Progress for some kids can look like, you know, just getting comfortable to sit on the toilet for the first time, or, you know, something in that nature. So just make sure that you're keeping the progress term in perspective for your unique situation.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for like giving parents permission to say, hey, this isn't working, and take a break, because sometimes we need to do that. Parents, yeah. Caregivers, it's important just as humans to know like that we don't have to keep plowing forward if something's not working in any yes. aspect of
yes, of that's very true. Very right? true.
There's also, if it's okay, when to go back to the power struggles, there's something I wanted to add in that was in my mind when you were talking and then left, and then just came back. Would that be okay if I just
yeah,
went back there?
Totally.
So I just wanted to go back to the power struggle and this idea of like giving choices, which is super helpful. And you may still have a toddler. I get this question a lot from parents, like, okay, what happens when choices fail? What happened when choices
That's
are
true.
Just like, no, no. And I like to tell parents, like, and I don't know how you feel about it. I'd love to hear what you think too. I like to tell parents that it's okay, because children learn best through experience. So sometimes if your child maybe really has to go, and they are, you know, there's some type of resistance there to go to the either the potty or the big toilet, whatever. Sometimes it's okay to just put the ball in their court and say, okay, when you're ready, you can. And then if they have an accident, you know, that's okay, because then they get to see the cause and effect. And so it's like, oh, you decided not to go to the bathroom, and then Now it's on the floor. Let's get this cleaned up. You know, it's still like keeping neutral about it, but it's good for kids to see the outcome of their decisions. And then they'll start making different decisions when they don't like the outcome of how it went.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that completely. And that's exactly how I would handle the same situation.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I just was thinking like, oh, we need to address like what happens in that
case. Yes.
So I wanted to go back to that.
Yep, great point.
Well, I know our time, we're running short on time, but I just know that this is a challenge for a lot of parents and caregivers. Do you think we have time just to talk for a few minutes about bowel movements and what to do when toddlers start either withholding, getting constipated, or just have like extreme fear of having a bowel movement on the toilet?
Yeah, this is the number one problem that parents reach out to me for is my child won't poop on the potty. Yeah, so I'm glad that you brought that up. So the first step kind of begins from well, even before you start the potty training process, and kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier in creating that positivity around poop and pooping on the potty. So there's actually been research studies performed that show that if we start introducing positive talks of poop and pooping on the potty from an early age, that it actually shortens the overall amount of time that it takes to potty train. So you definitely want to try to shift away from any kind of negativity associated with poop and pooping from as young as possible. And we may be doing that unintentionally too. I know I was totally guilty of this when my kids were small, and we all have the tendency to kind of be like, when our kid has like a poopy diaper, being like, "Whoo, you sure are stinky. Let's go change you." And, you know, in some ways for some kids, that term stinky is negative, and that can kind of create this underlying shame associated with the act of pooping. And that can kind of prolong into the potty training phase, because when the poop comes out and it's not contained by the diaper that they're used to anymore, and it's coming out of their body and into the potty instead, it can be a very hard thing for them to deal with and for them to comprehend. So the first step is to create that positivity, and then also take some time to think about and empathize with the fact that this is a really big shift for your child, from pooping in the diaper and it coming out and staying right up against their body to coming out and away from their body, which can, I've heard, you know, it being described as like feeling as though part of their body is falling out and they're not entirely sure what's even happening. So by starting from a very early age conversations, positive conversations about poop and pooping, having them come into the bathroom with you when you're going and talking about it, and, you know, reading books about the topic and things like that. I think it's becoming more kind of mainstream, the whole poop thing and the poop emoji. And like, you see poop stuff everywhere now, which I think is great. It may be weird to a lot of people, but I think it's great. Because it changes the dialogue. It gets it to be more of a positive thing instead of something that they have to be afraid of or something that they have to worry about. So having that positivity and empathy from the beginning is really important. And then also, once you start the potty training process and you're noticing that pooping is becoming a challenge for your child, the first thing that we have to do is either rule out or treat for constipation if it's there, because we can't expect our kids to change anything behaviorally if there's something medical standing in the way preventing them from doing so. So we definitely want to take care of any constipation as it pops up, which it has a tendency to do during the potty training process anyway. So I think if you kind of make yourself aware that that could be a potential kind of roadblock that you run into before you start the process, at least you know to be on the lookout for it. So if your child normally poops once a day and it's been 2 days and they haven't pooped at all after you started the potty training process, you probably want to take some steps and be a little proactive to prevent that constipation from getting too far advanced to where it's going to cause your child pain and discomfort when they actually do go. Because usually poop problems do stem from some past memory memory or past experience of having had a painful bowel movement at some point. So we want them to be pooping as comfortably and regularly as possible before we can expect them to put their poop in the potty instead. So those are kind of some basic helpful tips, and I could talk about poop for like hours.
Yeah, well, that's really great to help us get started. And, you know, one other thing I like to say is like, sometimes, you know, if a child was constipated in the past and had a painful bowel movement, any child, but even especially children who are like more anxious or highly sensitive, but really for all children, if they have a negative experience, it can just heighten the fear. And then sometimes it becomes like a challenging cycle where if there can be withholding, but then withholding can cause constipation. And then there's more withholding because they're constipated, and then it can lead to impacted bowels. And you may not even know your child's bowels are impacted because some feces is still able to come out, but they're not able to, cause it like leaks out around. And so I always like to recommend, like, if you have any concerns here, there has been a history of constipation or withholding, talk to your doctor, talk to a pediatric GI specialist to get supported there. And also realize that sometimes sensory kids, the way that they process different sensory experiences can also be part of the challenge when it comes to potty training and bowel movements as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of factors that play into it. And it's kind of like a little checklist, like you have to go through to really try to figure out the cause of what's, you know, making your child have these poop issues in the first place, and then treating it in the right order instead of necessarily just assuming it's something behavioral. It could be a little bit more deeper than that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Thank you for reminding us of that. Well, I know, that we're at the end of our time together, even though, gosh, you know, it just like makes me realize like what a vast topic pottying is. And there's a million more things that we could talk about, but I, you know, we have to wrap it up here, but I'm curious for the parents and caregivers out there that are really at the beginning of their journey with toilet learning, with pottying, with their toddler, what would you say is one step they can take today to start moving towards this process?
Yeah, definitely. So you definitely want to introduce the concept of pottying to your child in a very low pressure, stress-free way. So any way that we can make something fun and playful is going to speak better to your child. So I would say maybe take them to the bookstore, let them choose from a couple of different potty books that that are out there. There's tons of great ones that you can choose from. They have buttons, they have flaps, you know, there's a lot of like really interactive, engaging things. And let that kind of open the dialogue about the potty, and then start giving them some more exposure to the bathroom itself, just so that they start getting used to that environment where they might not be spending a ton of time in right now, but just getting them comfortable in that space. And that would be my first step, is you really want to just kind of introduce it in a positive way so that it doesn't become this big daunting change to them once you do actually decide to start.
Yeah. This is great. It's a great first step, and it's a step that anyone can take today. So I really love that. Is there anything else you want us to know, or any final things you want us to remember about pottying?
I would say one thing that I think everybody should try to remember, and I know it can be hard when you're in the moment, but I really like to stress to try to maintain a certain level of confidence and positivity as you're going through the process, because it's really important to remember that our kids can pick up on different changes in our moods and our body language and things like that. So if we are thinking positively and confidently about the pottying process, then that's going to reflect onto our kids, and they're more likely to feel the same way. So if we're feeling stressed and anxious about the whole thing, they're more likely to feel stressed and anxious. So if you can bring your positive emotions to the table, then that tends to just kind of help help everybody in the whole process. So that would be kind of my main suggestion, to try to keep the experience positive for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for reminding us of that. It's really important to remember. And I know that you have a gift to offer the audience before we go that can help them in this journey. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, I do. Sure. Yes, I have a free potty tip sheet. So it has a list of some of my favorite potty tips that you might not see everywhere else. So you can definitely grab one of those, and that can kind of help you get started on your potty training journey.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so generous. I know that this is going to be so helpful for the parents and caregivers watching. And I just, Allison, I want to thank you for being here today, taking the time to share your passion, your expertise with everyone, and your commitment to just helping parents have more ease and confidence in this journey.
Thank you so much for having me. I always love to spread the message to the world, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. And before we go, I'd like to invite all of you to join the discussion thread for this session in the Transforming Toddlerhood Facebook group. I'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, and feedback. We'll see you there. And don't forget to upgrade to the premium package so you can access the bonus materials for the conference and listen to this session and all the others again and again. All right, we'll see you again soon. Bye.